The reading this morning is taken from 1 Chronicles, chapter 29, verses 1 to 20, and that can be found on page 433 in your Pew Bibles. Then King David said to the whole assembly, "My son Solomon, the one whom God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. The task is great because this palatial structure is not for man, but for the Lord God. With all my resources, I have provided for the temple of my God. Gold for the gold work, silver for the silver, bronze for the bronze, iron for the iron, and wood for the wood, as well as onyx for the settings, turquoise stones of various colors, and all kinds of fine and marble, all of these in large quantities. Besides, in my devotion to the temple of my God, I now give my personal treasures of gold and silver for the temple of my God. Over and above everything, I have provided for this holy temple 3,000 talents of gold, gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver for the overlaying of the walls of the buildings, for the gold work and for the silver work and for all the work to be done by the craftsmen. Now, who is willing to consecrate themselves to the Lord today?" Then the leaders of the families, the officers of the tribes of Israel, the commanders of thousands and the commanders of hundreds, and the officials in charge of the king's work gave willingly. They gave toward the work on the temple of God 5,000 talents and 10,000 darics of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 100,000 talents of iron. Anyone who had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the temple of the Lord, in the custody of Jehiel the Gershonite. The people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in the heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. We are foreigners and strangers in your sight, as were all our ancestors. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building your temple for your holy name comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things I have given willingly and with honest intent. And now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. Lord, the God of our father Abraham, Israel, and Isaac and Israel, keep these desires and thoughts in your heart, in the hearts of your people forever, and keep their hearts loyal to you. And give my son Solomon the wholehearted devotion to keep your commands, statutes, and decrees, and to do everything to help to build the palatial structure for which I have provided." Then David said to the whole assembly, "Praise the Lord your God." So they all praised the Lord, the God of their fathers. They bowed down, prostrating themselves before the Lord and the king. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Harriet, and happy new year to you. It's lovely to see you, and a few more back than when it was New Year's Day last Sunday, so nice to see you, and a special welcome if you're visiting or haven't been here for a while. It's good to see you, and as Johnny said, I'm Adam, the minister here, and this is our Pledge Sunday. We are looking, as a one-off, diving into this point in 1 Chronicles, a book in the Old Testament, to think about the year ahead by first fixing our eyes on the Lord and what it is to live devoted to Him. And so, as Johnny said at the start, if you know that feeling, maybe you've given up, it seems, of making resolutions because you know that by Sundays like today, you've already broken them or failed to keep them, and you just spare yourself the disappointment. Today isn't about just a new resolution with a Christian gloss and veneer. No, today is about just together as a church family resolving to commit ourselves to the Lord wholeheartedly, willingly, the sorts of things we heard and we'll look at in the passage. And so if you're a regular here, in many ways we're just going to simply be reminded about who God is, how glorious He is, and what He's done for us in Christ, and so what it looks like just to live in response with both our diaries and our wallets, our time and our money. And it's fair to say that we don't talk much about money here, and today isn't just about give us your money at all, and nor are we exhausting all the riches of the Bible when it comes to how we should approach those sorts of things. But whilst we don't talk about it much, Jesus spoke more about money than He spoke about faith and prayer combined. And we are also aware of the numerous financial pressures many face at the moment. But our attitude to money is rooted in our attitude to God. So, yeah, we'll think a bit about it at least this morning. And let's be clear, if you are a guest here, maybe it's the first time, or you're on the fringe of things still, you are extremely welcome. It might be you're not a Christian yet, and you're not actually sure why anybody would be a Christian. You are extremely welcome. And this morning is not some sort of self-help guide or telling you how you must live too. We don't want your time or your money either. But please do know you're very welcome. And please listen in as those of us who are regular, those of us who'd say we are Christians, followers of Christ, as we fix our eyes on the Lord and just try and think about what it is to more and more wholeheartedly, lovingly, joyfully live for Him. So we're going to turn, as I say, to 1 Chronicles 29. Harriet read it. It's 4:33 if you've closed it. And let me pray as we begin. Loving Father, we thank and praise You for Your word, just how rich it is in all sorts of ways. And at the start of this new year, we pray You'd help us by Your word and the power of Your Spirit just to lift our eyes and fix them on You. To think more about who we are as those You've made and what it is to more wholeheartedly, more willingly live our lives in devotion, obedience, love for You. We pray You'd help us now. In Jesus' name, amen. So, as we've heard, it's 1 Chronicles 29. And by way of just very brief context, because I'm aware we're sort of airdropping in right at the end of 1 Chronicles, then there's 2 Chronicles, what's going on? And we're dropping in on King David, and as we've heard, his son Solomon, the same King David we've been hearing about in our 2 Samuel sermons earlier in the year. And as we've heard, there's these plans to build God's temple, and it's all happening about 1,000 years before King Jesus, and we've just celebrated his birth just a couple of weeks ago. And it was in those 2 Samuel sermons, if you were here, you might remember David had this great plan to build God this temple. And God says, thanks, but no thanks. You think you can give to me? Actually, I give to you. I'm going to build my temple. And builds this extraordinary picture of grace, of this great dynasty he's going to build, speaking of a temple built of living stones, of each and every believer indwelt by his Spirit. For all time to come, building this temple, and Jesus will be the cornerstone. But as time has gone on, now we get to this point where there are plans indeed for this physical temple, and Solomon, his son, has been appointed project manager. And then we hear of David generously pledging both his money and his time to the Lord and his work. So let's dive in. Verse 2, he says, I've provided, this is David, I've provided for the house of my God, so far as I was able, gold for the things of gold, silver for the things of silver, bronze for the things of bronze, iron for the things of iron. He's sort of working down through the periodic table, isn't he, from sort of the posher things to the less posh, wood for the things of wood. besides great quantities of onyx and stones for setting, antimony, coloured stones, all sorts of precious stones and marble. We're not to miss, it is an extensive and expensive list. And if we had the wider context, just back in chapter 28, he's already pledged and declared all the manpower to build the temple. He's giving both money and time. And what's clear again as he goes through is it's not just his position as king where he sort of unlocks the vault to the treasury and says to the chancellor, you better give a lot. No, David opens his own wallet. Verse 3, we hear of the total tonnage, the footnotes there, if you can quickly add it up, the total tonnage of what he personally gives. And then by his example and encouragement, we hear in verse 6 of the families and officers and commanders and officials giving so willingly. We're told, verse 8, anyone who had, gave. And as striking as all of it is in the great, extents and expense of the lists, what's key here isn't so much what they give, wonderful as it is, it's why they give it and who they give it to. It's summed up there in the prayer, verse 11. David says, yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the splendor and the majesty, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. And he carries on, verse 14, just skip ahead with me. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? He continues, everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. You see what's going on? The penny's dropping for David. You can almost hear him slightly chuckling as he sort of says, who would we dare to try and kid as we look at the great wealth as we open out our pockets? Who would we dare try and kid that we are being so generous with some gold and some silver, some labor and some skills? Let's not pretend it was ours. Everything's yours, Lord, entrusted to us. And so we're merely giving, committing, pledging, devoting it back to you. It's yours. And so wonderfully, it's a passage where the Lord's King knows precisely where everything comes from. Everything. Money and time. And it's full of the reminders, not of this great distant deity that would demand these riches, but of this personal relationship that they and indeed all Christians share with this Lord God. Time and again, my God, our Lord, they say. See, what they pledge is willing and wholehearted because they know the one they pledge it to and gladly, wholeheartedly give it back to him. Perhaps you remember at school, probably primary school, it's going to test most of us, those science experiments where you'd be given a magnet and iron filings, or maybe those sort of kits, little toys you got as a child, and you take a magnet and you sort of draw the iron filings and make little piles and shapes. I think I had a kit once you could give a man a moustache and things like that. I'm not sure what on earth it taught me, but I seem to remember doing it, and it was called science. It was quite fun. Why do I say that? Well, often we can be a bit like magnets, can't we? Drawing income, riches, quote-unquote, resources, pensions, savings, even time to ourselves and for ourselves, because therein we sort of kid ourselves lies security and comfort, and to a certain extent it does. But it seems here to have a heart like God's King and God's people, as modelled here for us, well, it's to be less like a magnet drawing it in, and more like, as someone put it to me when I asked, they said, it's a bit more like a leaf blower, just blasting it out. joyfully, generously scattering what we have, and primarily for God's purposes, for the Lord's work. And so as this year gets underway, I am well aware, Johnny and I, on behalf of elders, PCC, very aware and very grateful for the amount of devotion, the amount of money and time that is given to support and enable ministry here at Christchurch. As we then support and enable ministry both here, locally, further afield, with London City Mission, good to see Adam here this morning. Indeed, mission partners worldwide. Victor saying he's recently managed to catch up with Moses on a Skype call. It's a joyful privilege, and we're very grateful for the wholehearted response which permits that. But as the year starts, it is no bad thing, is it, for us all to pause and remember first where everything we have has come from. That everything we have is because we were first given. And as we think back to Christmas, we're given so much more than just the breath in our bodies, the time in our diaries, or the money or not in our banks. But the Lord Jesus Christ, given to save, to reconcile. So as this year gets underway, this Pledge Sunday, simply for us to think, what will it look like for me to be a little less magnet and a bit more leaf blower? Well, our writer tells us what was given, and indeed why it was given. But we aren't to miss either, it's peppered throughout, how it was given, the attitude, the heart. David, as we've heard, leads by example, and then he asks all those gathered that question that I skipped over earlier, but in verse 5. Who is willing to consecrate themselves to the Lord today? Who is willing to consecrate themselves to the Lord today? Let's just briefly look at those two key words, willing, which comes up a few times, and consecrate, to be consecrated. You see, quite simply, as we know, being willing to give to the Lord's work means it's not forced. David is the Lord's king of the Lord's people and doesn't issue an edict or a tax. He simply asks, who's willing? Who knows this Lord as I do? And now willingly gives. God, it seems, doesn't want grumpy givers. He asks those who know and who love him because of who he is and what he's done to willingly, cheerfully, generously, sacrificially give. Subtext, and it comes up more when it's mentioned elsewhere in the Bible, is that if you don't think God has done anything for you, don't give him anything. He doesn't ask for it, and he doesn't need it. It's already his. But those who know what God has already given and where everything comes from, where all the greatness, all the power, splendor, and majesty, where, as verse 14 says, where everything comes from. When we know the giver, he says, who willingly gives back? See, too often the world portrays God as taking. He takes freedom, takes time, takes money, takes choices. But that is absolute nonsense. He's not God the taker, he's God the giver. And again, as we saw so recently at Christmas, we know the lengths he'll go to give, to save. See, David knows, and David therefore asks, excuse me, that rightly known and rightly understood, who wouldn't want to willingly steward, entrust, pledge, devote all that we have, all that we are, to temple building purposes. Today, the building of that spiritual temple that more and more would come to know Jesus too, to partner in that work, just as we heard on that video, that we would thank the Lord God for one another in that willing devotion, that partnership. And when we do, it's a striking example to the onlooking world about what makes us tick. And so a clergy friend of mine, he leads a church elsewhere. He was a couple of years ago having a beer after a game of tennis at his local tennis club. The joy of only working Sundays mean you can do that sort of thing more freely. It's fair to say there were a couple of high flyers. They were city types, and they were on big wage packets. And his church had just had a gift day for some staff appointments they were doing to raise money to appoint those staff for the year ahead. And the church was about 120 adults regularly, consider themselves sort of partners in the gospel and their children. And the two guys said, "Oh, great, how did it go?" And so my friend said, "Well, how much do you think we might have raised out of interest?" It was a week later. And they said, "Well, 120 adults, probably, I guess, I don't know what that is, 30, 40 households, and then a few others. £1,800 on the totaliser, that kind of thing, would seem reasonable." It was £450,000. Now, these two guys virtually fell off their bar stools. And as they spoke, my friend said, in God's timing, a £225,000 Bentley pulled into the driveway. And he did take the moment to say, "Isn't it interesting that where we spend our money reveals where our priorities lie?" They are beautiful cars, by the way. I would love to drive one, just for a day. But we're to offer willingly, willingly. Second, that more jargony word, we're to consecrate ourselves. It is a very jargony word, isn't it? It's a very churchy word. By way of example, you could be a, apologies to Graham, you could be a devoted Liverpool fan, which I know you are, and we could say you're a consecrated Liverpool fan, which is why we pray for you. But that's a similar sort of meaning of the word. And back in David's day, it was the priests who did the consecrating, the devoting of themselves for and on behalf of God's people. But here now specifically, God's king asks God's people far more broadly that simple but significant question. Who will devote themselves? And so not simply their bank accounts and their diaries, but their very beings, themselves, to the Lord. His question is, who will willingly devote, pledge, every fibre of their being, every bus journey, as we heard on the video, to the God who so willingly gives everything, even himself, in Jesus to us? It's devotion. It's 100%. And of course, that is because that is what a loving relationship looks like. And that's what a right response would entail. Sort of unwilling and begrudging, or part-time, now and again, just is not a loving relationship, is it? So as we think about a little bit about monies and diaries, it's often we think about 10% for various reasons, being a fair amount of our time and money to give to the Lord specifically. It's often spoken of, particularly with wallets. And yet we walk into shops in the New Year sales, and if there's only 10% off, we don't think it's enough. And can you imagine if I said to you that I really do pledge to give Kate, my wife, 10% of my love and loyalty every day? And the children, they can have 10% of me too. You would rightly question, I hope, the strength of my loving relationship. And let's not forget, we haven't looked in enough detail, but David is very clear who this God is. His demonstration of full devotion to us, all that he's given by grace. And so rightly known and rightly understood, we will willingly, gladly, joyfully demonstrate full devotion in response. Of course, that doesn't just mean surrendering all of our money and all of our time as if we didn't live in the real world. Of course, there's still bills to pay and schools to go to and work to do, but it's wholehearted, consecrated devotion of attitude in those things. To do all of them for the Lord, first and foremost. And wonderfully, just as we might think, gosh, how hard and tedious might that be? The passage is very explicit. It leads to joy. Did you notice just how many times, as Harriet read, David and all the people just rejoiced and praised the encouragement of seeing each other, declaring their devotion for the Lord. Their devotion brought delight. And again, not simply that sort of feel-good factor of giving a bit to others, giving a bit back. No, far more than that, but the profound satisfaction and purpose of being part of the Lord's purposes and plans here on earth, building his kingdom. Here, yes, specifically in the temple, which we now know is fulfilled finally as the Lord builds his spiritual temple. You and me, all believers, worldwide. What great joy, great privilege. What better use of our very selves, our time and our money, than that work? And so, friends, on this Pledge Sunday, we can ask each other, as the Lord's King then asked of the people, and so the Lord asks of us, who is willing to consecrate themselves to the Lord today? It'll look different for each of us in all sorts of ways, for all sorts of right reasons. But it's right we ask as we go into Monday morning and 2023, your role as mother, father, as spouse, as friend, as school pupil, school teacher, as lawyers, barristers, graduate scheme workers, apprentices, builders, those retired. Sorry if I've missed you out. Will you be devoted in all the roles the Lord has given you today to give them and do them for the Lord? And so this week, can I encourage you, encourage me, as the year gets underway, just review your plans. Review your diary, review your spending. And ask, am I willingly devoting myself to the Lord? Ask, how might I be less magnet, more leaf blower? It's fair to say we have exciting plans here at Christ Church as the year gets underway, that Lord willing, we will keep building his kingdom here. We'd long to appoint more workers for the harvest field, both locally, wider in London, and mission partners abroad. Who wouldn't when we know who this Lord is and what he's like? Who would want to meet him as we've sung on that day he returns and just show him our nest egg? Of course we wisely steward for the future. But who would want to make sure that our partnership in the gospel, our devotion, willingly builds his kingdom and blesses those we might not yet meet until glory? Do please keep partnering with us in that work as much as you're able this year. Thank you for those who already do. It might be you need to be perhaps less a punter and more a partner with us here at Christ Church. Thinking about giving some time and some money to partner in that work, do let me know if you'd like to know more about how we do that and why that's a good thing to do. And it's fair to say our church monies and ministries are still perhaps a little dependent on too few. I say, if you're a more punter than partner, do feel if you'd like to, if you see who this Lord is and what he's like, if he's your devotion and priority, do get in touch. It might be you already give and serve, as I've said, and lots do. And once again, thank you so much. But it might be these verses encourage you to lift your eyes onto the Lord and think, I want to give more. Challenge, isn't it, sometimes with routines, whether just the serving teams we're on, or the routines often those of us who perhaps financially support by direct debit, you think, can I even remember how much it is? Just good to review. Good to test that our consecration, our devotion is willing, and question if any smidgen of us is grumpy. Maybe we stop giving until our hearts are better. To try and remember where all things and our salvation are really from, that we would more willingly give. Of course, it might be you're in a season where you will rightly review and offer less, and rightly so. Don't feel any shame if that's you, both time and money, in all sorts of ways. But again, as I close, it's not about seeking a donation. No, it's, the Lord's King tells us, it's about wholehearted and willing devotion. We're not to worry about the amount, but the attitude. I pray that we would willingly, wholeheartedly, know something more this year of the joy that the Lord's people and the Lord's King knew then, of devoting ourselves today and every day afresh to the God who so lovingly gives us all things, every breath, every penny, and every hour. Let's pray. Who am I, and who are my people, that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we've given you only what comes from your hand. Lord, the God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep these desires and thoughts of you in the hearts of us, your people, forever. Keep our hearts loyal to you. Keep us living in wholehearted devotion, keeping your commands, statutes, decrees, doing everything to build your kingdom here for your purposes and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.